Hey, everybody. Tim Miller from The Bulwark. I just got off a weekend stint with Alex Witt on MSNBC, and we're discussing a lot of the swirling controversy around Epstein, as well as the firing of Maureen Comey, which we've talked about here a couple of times, which I find to just be utterly outrageous in the extreme and a total betrayal. I don't understand how the QAnon type voters, the MAGA voters who claim to care about the prosecution of sex criminals, could see the firing over the prosecutor who oversaw the arrest of sex criminals as anything but an utter betrayal, and the administration revealing that they don't actually care at all about this. Something we all knew, but you know. I'll talk a little bit about something I haven't gotten into that much, which is this notion that of getting Ghislaine Maxwell to testify in Congress. And I've been rewatching the Epstein documentary over the weekend, and I do think this is likely not going to happen during the Republican Congress, and should not be the core of the Democrats' campaign next fall. But I think that if the Democrats take back the House, they should do everything in their power to get Ghislaine Maxwell to testify. There is just so much more underneath the surface of this story that could, at minimum, implicate pedos and sex criminals, and possibly more than that, shed some light over Donald Trump's relationship with the couple. So stick around for that. Alex Witt on The Weekend Show and me chatting it all up. We'll be back here tomorrow for the Monday Bulwark podcast with Bill Kristol. We'll have a lot more all week. So we'll be seeing you soon. Subscribe to the feed.
Tim, I first want to ask about that suggestion from Alan Dershowitz to give Ghislaine Maxwell so-called use immunity and then have her testify to Congress. Well, just in this last hour, Joyce Vance told me that Congress could just subpoena her. They don't need a use immunity reason for doing so. Do you see any scenario where Ghislaine Maxwell testifies to Congress, and could that lay all questions to rest?
Boy, I don't know if anything could lay all questions to rest at this point, but it certainly would be useful to have Ghislaine Maxwell testify to Congress. It's hard for me to get inside her head at this point, and obviously she's serving time. What would be the value for her? What could be offered to her? Maybe that's what Dershowitz is saying, though any immunity suggestions for Dershowitz offers a pretty bad flashback to the original Epstein arrest way back in 2006, 2007, 2008, where he was given immunity and Maxwell was given immunity at the time from further prosecution when he got that sweetheart deal. So, I don't know what she would want to do. I think certainly, you know, if you're the Democrats, looking ahead to the midterms, thinking that subpoenaing Ghislaine Maxwell would make a lot of sense for them next year, depending on what happens in the meantime. And I think that is all going to continue to be part of the discussion. I don't think any of this is going to go away.
So Trump has moved pretty quickly, Tim, to file that $10 billion lawsuit against Rupert Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal after the report about the alleged Epstein letter, which Trump denies writing, and NBC News has not seen a copy. But now it threatens to put his relationship with Epstein under greater scrutiny with this lawsuit. Is this a gamble on his part?
What is, I think that the gamble that Trump is making, and, you know, he's not subtle about these sort of things. You don't really have to read between the lines, is that he can cow Rupert Murdoch in the way that he has other media outlets. He mentioned in the Truth Social post about this lawsuit, the lawsuit against George Stephanopoulos and ABC, and the lawsuit against 60 Minutes and CBS, which both settled. And so I think that is the gamble that he is making. On the other side of this, to your point, you know, discovery is not going to be good for Donald Trump related to Jeffrey Epstein. And there's they had a very extensive friendship. You know, anytime this stuff comes up, there are these old tabloid articles from New York and London during the 90s when Trump was a private figure about how he had spent time with Maxwell and Epstein. So there obviously is more information out there. Allegedly, this alleged letter, birthday letter, was in the 2006 DOJ filing. So I think that is a risk. But if you're Trump, that's kind of a tomorrow risk, and I think you figure that you can kick the can and that this and all this would take a lot of time.
But let me me ask you, though, Tim. I mean, certainly Rupert Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal are very aware of the history that you've just chronicled, the recent history of Donald Trump getting money, extracting money from media corporations. The Wall Street Journal says we stand behind all this reporting. You'd think they wouldn't take a risk at encouraging the wrath and a $10 billion lawsuit from Donald Trump unless they were pretty darn sure they had what they needed to hold up in court.
I would say certainly. And I think there's some just sort of anecdotal evidence of this. I mean, there was kind of rumors that this Wall Street Journal story was coming for days before it actually did in media circles. There's some reporting on this by Oliver Garcia and others. And to me, that signals that, look, they were working on this. They were ensuring that their sourcing was solid. They had a team of lawyers looking at it. They got threatened by, according to Darcy, the president, but at least to the White House. So absolutely, I don't think that there's any reason to believe that the Wall Street Journal was reckless in this reporting. And so I think that they're probably on pretty solid ground.
Tim, as far as MAGA is concerned, it's not giving up on getting access to the details from the Epstein files. Here's some of that.
Where are my fellow weaklings at? Because that's what Trump called us yesterday, right? He also, during a press conference, said that we were stupid for still caring about the Epstein files. So I think now we're arriving at the important question here, which is, who is Trump protecting?
It's the administration and their handling of this, which is why everyone's talking about it.
You're like, shut up. Don't talk about it. You have put the gun in your mouth and ours collectively. Stop it. Stop it.
They're pretty clearly letting him know that he's not driving the narrative on this. How much worse, Tim, can the MAGA pressure get?
Well, I guess it depends what you mean by worse. I think that at some level, Trump is going to make a bet that his core supporters are going to come back around and that they'll get distracted and move on from something else. This is why he's posting on social media today about the Washington football team's name, right? He's like looking for anything to get those folks to talk about. The problem that he has, and he's probably right about that as far as his core supporters. The problem that he has is there are two groups. One that you just showed a couple of those from, Alex Jones and Candace Owens, who are really outside of the Republican Party infrastructure. And they thrive on, kind of conspiracy theories and contrarianism and anti-establishment talk. They're not going to stop talking about this. And then you have that other group of people who were never really, Republicans in the first place, the Joe Rogans of the world, who've been covering the story for a decade and care about it. They're not going to stop and just because Donald Trump tells them to. So I think that is the issue for him. Like, he can get the Republican Party in line, but these media outlets have different incentives, and they're driven by A, what they believe, but also what their viewers and listeners believe, and they're not going to just shut up about this because Donald Trump wants them to.
Is there an impact, though, if this continues, Tim, on for Donald Trump? I mean, he's not running again, politically speaking.
Well, that's a good question. He benefits a lot from this notion that he can do anything and that the base will still be with him, right? And so, sure, maybe he's not running again, but look, and he's gotten all the Republicans in the House and the Senate to vote for every piece of legislation, even some very unpopular ones over the past month or two. A lot of that is based on the fact that, like, you don't want the worst thing for you is to get on the wrong side of Trump, because then the base gets mad at you. If he loses that aura, that kind of invincibility power with the base, I do think that has political ramifications for him. It doesn't mean that, like, the end is near or whatever, but I do think that it could impact his control over the party.
So, same kind of question to you, Tim. I'm curious what you make of Maureen Comey being fired, the timing of it, as well as the aspects of retribution.
Yeah, obviously it seems like retribution, and the fact that this is either related to her last name being Comey, or the fact that she was the prosecutor on Epstein and Maxwell's cases, or maybe both. What exactly was impetus for it, I'm sure we'll find out in reporting in the coming weeks. I would say this about it, though. I think what it reveals to me is, just kind of stepping aside from the meta political commentary of it, is if you take MAGA world at face value, right, that they want pedophiles and elites to be prosecuted, right? Like, the people that committed sexual crimes against minors, they care about prosecuting them, and that is a big problem. then the firing of Maureen Comey should be more outrageous even than the lack of release of the Epstein files. And this is a person, this is a woman who specialized in prosecuting sex crimes. She prosecuted the very elites that, you know, the MAGA and the QAnon world says that they want to be taken down. She prosecuted Epstein, Maxwell, Diddy. For the Trump White House to shed somebody, you know, with that specialized expertise and that record of successfully holding people to account is just really shameful. And I think betrays that they have no actual interest in prosecuting, you know, the perpetrators of these types of crimes.
Can I ask you, Tim, something else seems a little outrageous? That is Laura Loomer. She is not elected. She seems to have incredible influence within the White House. Her role in all of this is what? What is she getting out of this? And why does she have the ear of the president and multiple people within the White House and the administration? Yeah.
I think she's the heir of Trump because Trump wants anybody that he sees as willing to be loyal to him and fight for him. And that's what he wants. This is why he picks people for the cabinet who he thinks do a good job on Fox, right? Like, he wants people that are going to be out in public fighting on his behalf. He sees that Laura Loomer does that. Whether there's anything more to that, I don't know. But at minimum, that is, I think, why she has his ear. And look, I think that you've seen it over and over again. I think that she's seen a way for her to wield power is not by actually doing things, but by burning stuff down, by taking out people that she sees as disloyal within the administration. I also think Trump is very susceptible to that. He feels like in the first term, he had a lot of disloyal people around. So if there's going to be somebody out there doing the dirty work, letting them know who the whatever never Trumpers are inside the White House, he's going to listen to them. So that is, I think, where her power emanates from.